Hi, it's Ian Pickus, and we're in the Congressional Corner today with New York State Senator John Manion. He's a Democrat from the 50th District. He's been in office since 2020, and now he is running for Congress. He's a candidate in New York's 22nd House District. And Senator Manion, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Ian.
Before we talk about your run for Congress, let me ask you this. Why is the New York State budget late, and when will we have one?
That's a great question. I don't have the answer as to when. I know that it is very important to get it right, and we are actively working on that. You know, there's a lot of big ticket items, important things in education and housing and healthcare. And I certainly have my priorities. We do have great diversity of thought within the Senate and different priorities. So we're actively working on it. I believe, as does my leader, Andrea Stewart-Cousins, that we need a budget that works for New Yorkers, that gets it right. And it's very important to me to get this completed for a number of different reasons. But we do have to get it right, and we do have some outstanding issues. So I'm hopeful that, you know, in a short period of time, we'll have this done.
You've been watching, I imagine, what's happened with funding questions in Washington over the past year. Who's got a worse budget process? New York State, where sometimes it's late by several weeks and it's kind of hashed out between three people behind closed doors, or Washington, where there's a threat of a shutdown when the money runs out? And I will grant you that that is a bit of a trick question for you to answer.
I understand. Well, I will say this, in watching what is happening in Washington, it is a game of brinksmanship, and that is not good government. And we've watched this happen. We've watched the budget process be hijacked, honestly, and held hostage. And that is something that is not good for the country. It's certainly not what the people of my Senate district or the congressional district want or want in this country. It doesn't make sense. So as far as comparing that to our process, yes, in my 3 years and now fourth year, sometimes we've been a little bit late. Last year, we were a little more so. But it is a process where the governor leads and the legislature must respond. And yes, it does go behind closed doors to a degree with leadership negotiating different items. But we are continuously briefed. We're continuously conferencing. And we have the ability to input our thoughts and opinions on where we should prioritize things within the New York State budget. So it is an ongoing dynamic process, and it's not perfect, but it is what we have. And I certainly believe that in getting certain priorities into the budget, like as disabilities chair, we did not have a cost of living adjustment for OPWDD for about
That's
a decade.
That's the Office of People with Developmental Disabilities, just for people who don't follow the lingo.
Thank you, Ian. Yes, I should not get into the alphabet soup, you know, in this conversation. But since my time as chair, the only chair of the Disabilities Committee, we have secured three consecutive cost of living adjustments, historic cost of living adjustments. So I have been an integral part of that budget process, making sure that we fully fund foundation aid, that we have supports for childcare institutions and subsidies for childcare. And, you know, as chair of this committee, I know that I have to be a very strong voice in advocating for not just individuals with disabilities, their family members, the people who work in that capacity. So what we've done is made sure that we are connected to our leadership, that they know what our priorities are so that they can go in and negotiate. And we have negotiated successfully as a result of that, outside of just, you know, that one budget item. There's lots of other items that I have delivered for the 50th Senate District, including, you know, accelerating the middle class tax cuts a while back when we were in the midst of the pandemic, suspending the gas tax and providing property tax relief. These are things that, you know, have a real impact on the people of my district and keep dollars in their pocket. So, yes, the budget process is not perfect, but But we have made it work and we'll continue to, and hopefully we find a resolution to this budget very soon.
Okay, I promise I'll ask you about some federal issues, but let me ask you one more thing, because you were a teacher before running for office. You were, high profile member of the New York State United Teachers. What's your expectation for how this disagreement over the education funding will eventually turn out in the budget?
Well, really what has happened in the past 3 years is that we have made a commitment to fully fund the foundation aid formula so that school districts have the resources to make sure that our kids have the best education in the world. And myself as a parent and a former teacher, I've seen that work and I've seen the successes that come from it. Education is really the great equalizer. So listen, budgets are about priorities, and the governor has a role, the speaker has a role, the majority leader has a role. And in that, they have got to find some resolution. But what has happened is really the commitment that was made and expected by school districts, by school boards, by superintendents, by parents, teachers, and students, that commitment was that they had an expectation to plan for next year's school year.
This is the so-called hold harmless idea.
That is correct. And some tweaks to, the throwing out the high and the low years of the CPI. And because we had a very high year last year, that's really negatively impacting what the expected funding was going to be. So where do I think we'll land? I'm hopeful and believe that because of a very strong voice coming out of both the Senate and the Assembly, that we that Save Harmless will be back in place, that we will restore, I would say, the quote unquote old formula. And then really what we need to do, and there is funding in our one house budget to establish a blue ribbon task force to make sure that we revisit this formula that is using antiquated data over 20 years old that doesn't make sense. And part of it not making sense is that many of our school districts that are at the wrong end of that formula are at the wrong end every year. So there really are winners and losers based on antiquated data. We've got to fix that, along with making sure that school districts have the resources they need in this upcoming school year to be able to continue to provide mental health, career training, advanced courses, a variety of courses, small class size, and I'm committed to that.
So, Senator Manion, we have about 2 minutes left in today's conversation. I just want to give you an opportunity here for listeners who, maybe haven't followed your political career so far. As you are now running for Congress, what do you want them to know about you and your candidacy?
So I have lived in the 22nd congressional district my entire life. I've lived in the 50th district my entire life. My wife has as well. We're from a blue collar background. My father worked on the railroad, New York Central, Penn Central, Conrail for 42 years. My mother worked for what we would call the phone company, New York Telephone. And we grew up in a very humble way, but I care about my region. I became a AP biology and chemistry teacher and taught in a classroom for almost 30 years. So I did not come through the political ranks. I certainly was always politically engaged, but it was a love of my area and a love of public education that really got me into politics. So I know I haven't talked a lot about my candidacy, but I do want to say that there were certain things that pushed me to run for office. One of them was an advocacy for public education. The 3-8 testing here in New York, something called gap elimination adjustment, which kept funds from school districts, and honestly, a teacher evaluation system that didn't make any sense that we're actively working to so that it has logic to it, were things that got me into the political sphere. And then in 2018, after John DeFrancisco, who held the seat as a Republican for 26 years, retired, I ran in 2018. And part of what pushed me to run in 2018 was watching my students, juniors in high school, along with my own children, which were about the same age, watch that 2016 election cycle, presidential election cycle, and the toxicity that existed within that. And, you know, as a teacher who must serve as a role model, we expect a lot in Central New York and the Mohawk Valley from our elected officials. We expect them to work with everyone. We expect them to conduct themselves in a certain way. And here we are 8 years later, and we are not in a better space. We watch what is the name calling, the threats that are occurring. An insurrection has occurred in the midst of that time, an assembly of fake electoral college electors. It's unbelievable to me. That's why I ran in 2018. I almost flipped a seat that was held by Republicans for 100 years. I did flip that seat after losing by 2% in 2020. I'm proud to represent my area. I know we're probably coming against time here, but I would love to have the opportunity in our next segment to be able to speak to my candidacy for Congress and the things that I want to get accomplished.
Yeah, Senator John Manion is a Democrat from the New York State Senate's 50th District. He's been in office since 2020, and now he's a candidate for Congress in the 22nd House District. And Senator Manion, thank you for your time. We will pick it up right there when we come back the next time.
Thank you.